smart. Sometimes you have Bible questions. You young ladies, too, if you've got any Bible questions, you just ask, okay? All right? I'll try to do my best to answer them.
When you say that, do you open it up to any kind of question or related to eternal purpose of the church?
Any. Any Bible question?
I got it.
All right. I can't answer them, but
it's more of something that just blew me away, that I was amazed at. Mm-hmm. I've heard so much about Matthew Henry's commentary.
Yes.
And I bought one here mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And I was going through some of the things in Daniel mm-hmm. about the, I think it's the second vision where Gabriel, the man, it says the man Gabriel, mm-hmm. where he ate that. Gabriel appeared as a man to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew's commentary, he makes the comment that that Gabriel is the only angel that's named in the Bible. And the reason why is because he says that, the way he puts it, he says, if Michael is indeed no other than Jesus Christ, then Gabriel is the only angel named in the Bible. And I read it a couple of times before I...
Well, I would have told you not to buy Matthew Henry's commentary. If you'd asked me.
That's exactly what
yes. Yes, it sure is. Yes, it is. It is exactly.
Michael is Jesus?
Yeah. Michael. Michael means he who is like God. All right. Well, he's in the spiritual. He's on the spiritual realm of God. We know that Lucifer is named in the Bible. That's an absolute flat fact. Okay, I mean, we have no doubts about that, do we? And this is talking about God's eternal purposes, by the way, because God's eternal purposes entails everything from Genesis through Revelation. Okay? But, yes, he was not sound on many basic Bible doctrines. Matthew Henry was not sound. And, of course, he never will be. he believed in salvation by works also. Anytime you have a man believing in salvation by works or by good deeds, you're right off the base to begin with, aren't you? That's one of the foundation beliefs in the Bible. So if you're wrong on that, how many things are you going to be right on?
Well, that's what scared me. I mean, right on the front it has Spurgeon giving him praise for his work. And I've heard...
Maybe Spurgeon was having a nightmare.
Well, I'm just confused. There's a lot of pastors out there that...
There's a lot of pastors that use that. Yes, there are. But one thing I tell you, like you to take the Greek class too, learn the original languages. Depend upon the Word of God. Because that's what we're supposed to believe in, isn't it? Depend upon the Word of God. And if you'll study the Bible in its inspired Word, and study the word studies from that, and the history, and the customs, you won't go wrong. You'll just be as straight arrow as you can be. And it's real simple, but there are a lot of commentaries out in the world. And I'm sure that Matthew Henry has some good things to say. But he is on the wrong foundation. The man was on the wrong foundation to begin with. So when you've got the wrong foundation, all types of error come in. Did I ask your question?
Yeah, no.
All right. There's Matthew. You know, there are three angels in the angelic realms, aren't they? What are they? And they're named in the Bible. Okay, what are they? There's four angels named, and there are five angels named in the Bible, basically. Several of them. Abaddon.
Types or?
Abaddon. You know, Abaddon. You know, you talk about, and the angels in the... That preach the gospel in the book of Revelation.
Talks about.
No, it's no name, but they do a name of Abaddon. They name Lucifer. And then he's changed to Satan. And then there's Gabriel and Michael. All right. We know those.
Didn't it talk about different types of angels?
And then there's another one that whether he was an angel or a demon, I don't know, you know, the demons. But his name was what? In Mark, the fourth chapter.
Legion.
Right. All right. Now,
it means many.
Yeah, which means at least 2,000.
Billy Graham has them, angels.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good book.
Yeah.
Billy Graham's got a book out called Hot Angels.
Okay. We study the Bible from eternity to eternity, eternity past to eternity first, to the to the future. Now, we don't understand eternity. The Bible has the New Testament word, basically, is like that. Or you can put the Eola there, it's spelled many different ways in different places. It's Aeonia. And that means eternity. And the commentaries, not the commentaries, but the word studies that I have read about it, it says where, there's a wall right here. We can understand something up to this point, okay? That's as far as we can understand. This word goes beyond. Further than we can comprehend. Where our comprehension ends is where this word eternity begins. Because we can't understand eternity. You ask a little child, my little Dakota, you know, little daughter of mine, she doesn't believe that anything ever happened before she was born. It didn't exist. Because she doesn't have a concept of even years and time yet. Not 50 years. And I told her, Dakota, I said, I was born in the first half of the last century. She doesn't even understand that, you know. But that's the way we are. We don't understand some things. But there's things in the Bible that we can understand. There's so many beautiful things there. I'm going to show you a few words today. Just a few words. These are Bible names. Sometimes the pronunciations of these are a little bit different and are spelled different also. Are you recognizing some of these names? I'm going to show you how God sees through time and eternity. These things, I'd rather write with black or chalk. Of course, I'm an antique. But I'd rather write with chalk than that stuff. Anyway, we have the word Adam in the Bible. Now, we looked at that in Hebrew. It's Avam. And it talks about him mostly, Ha'avam, the Adam. The Adam, the first man in the human race, okay? The first man, Adam. The Bible says there was the first Adam. The first Adam was put in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment. The second Adam was who?
Jesus Christ.
And he was put, the God of heaven became flesh and dwelt, or was, in the body of a little helpless infant in the city of Bethlehem. Didn't even have a regular motel room to go to. Was born out in a shanty. And there he was. Then he had to flee for his life. God told Joseph through one of these angels that aren't named in the Bible, by the way, Gabriel, told him to get down into Egypt because the Bible said many thousands of years before that his son would be called from Egypt. All right? Well, he went down into Egypt and he hid down there for a certain amount of years. Then he came back. The angel appeared, this unknown angel again, Brother Joey, appeared to him and told him that Herod was dead. So come on back up to the land. So they went to where? In the Galilee region, in the little city of Nazareth. All right. And Nazareth, you know what Nazareth means? It means root. Root. That's what Nazareth means. It means root. And Jesus, it says of him that he was a root out of dry ground. The root of Jesse, of David the king. All right? You know, when Jesus went before Herod, did he even say a word to the rascal? When he was brought before King Herod, what did Jesus say to King Herod? Nothing. He didn't say anything to him. He had no authority over him at all. He had nothing to say to a man that was on his throne. Herod was on Jesus' throne. He was the true son of David, not Herod. Herod bought the throne. His family did. Jesus, Joseph should have been on that throne, and then Jesus. But Herod was on the throne. He had no authority to be on that throne at all, period. Okay? He lived a perfect life because he was the perfect God. We talked about last week. Remember, we talked about how that the sin of man passes on through Adam, through the man. Okay? It says that now that God created man how?
In his own image.
Well, in his own image, all right, but how? As he created the dust of the ground. Not from the dust, but as he created the dust. God created man from him. All right, he came from him. So where did the dust come from?
God.
All right, he's the originator of all things. And man was a primary creation of God. He was not made from something else, but he was made from, came from God, and God created him a primary creation of God. Okay? When you build furniture, it comes from a tree. The tree grows, and then you make furniture from the tree. Okay? God did not create Adam from the dust of the ground, but he created him as the dust of the ground. And that word Adam, there is red in it, and there is blood in it. And the ground is like that red earth. It talks about the red earth. Many times you go back on home, you see the red earth, the red ground. And that's what that means. He created him as the dust of the ground. And he breathed into him, it says, the breathings of lives. The breathings of lives. And where is life, by the way? Where is life? The Bible says life is in the what? No. In the blood. All right. I just think about here this little Adam is. God has created him, but he's not alive yet. So he breathes into him the breathings of life. What do you think he put in him to make him alive? The blood. He breathed into him the blood. You know when they take a person and they do open heart surgery on them, they put this pump on their heart and everything else, and they start their heart back up. That blood has to circulate. If that blood doesn't circulate, you're dead meat. That's all. God breathed into Adam the breathings of life and the blood. He was perfect. He was sinless blood. Sinless blood. And while he was still sinless, God took Eve from him. What does Eve mean? Eve. The mother of life. The mother of all living. She should have been the mother of all dying, but she was the mother of all living, he said, because he believed in the promise. So he took Eve from Adam. Now the word Ishah, the word for man, is Ish. All right? How many of you heard of Judas Iscariot? That's a betrayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does Iscariot mean? The man from Cariot. Ish. Karioth. Okay? That's the two Hebrew words. Ish, the man from Karioth. It was up there, that the area of Kerioth was up there by Hebron, which is where Abraham was buried. And he's the only apostle and disciple from that area, by the way. All the rest of them from the other region. The complete opposite end.
Could he came from the
lineage
from Abraham's first son?
No, not Ishmael. No, he may have been from Judah. Okay, he may have been from Judah. I don't know. Some people say, you know, he's possibly from the tribe of Judah. But anyway, the lion of the tribe of Judah, you know. Well, he was a lion, but he was a false lion too, wasn't he? All of this to teach something. Adam woman was taken from man, and the woman, the word Isha means out of man. Woman was taken out of man before man sinned, didn't he? And the blood that was in woman came out of man before he sinned. Now the woman was deceived. Didn't the Bible say that in many places? The woman was deceived. But what did Adam do? He knowingly sinned. Alright? Alright. Now, the means of the Messiah, the second Adam coming, would come through the seed of the woman, not the seed of man. He wouldn't be Adam's son, basically. He would be the woman's son. And that's where in Genesis, the third chapter, where we were looking at a couple of weeks ago, it says that the seed of the woman would overcome the seed of the serpent. All right. Who's the seed of the serpent? Who is the seed of the serpent? The Antichrist or Satan himself. What does the word Barabbas mean? Barabbas. You know, when Jesus was going to be crucified, Pilate did everything in the world that he could do to get them to release Jesus. Everything was illegal. He enumerated to them that every illegal thing that they were doing. He said, what you're doing is totally illegal. And I can name them over and over and all the different things he did, but that would take a lot of time. He said, you people are illegal. Now, he said, I'll tell you what, it's the Passover feast. This is your big feast. This is the time that somebody is released as a criminal. Released criminal that was released. Who shall I release to you? The King of the Jews? You know what he did? He has stated that Jesus was the King of the Jews. Because he was the rightful heir to the throne. Pilate said it. He had it put on the cross, the King of the Jews. He had it put in Greek, and in Hebrew, and in Latin. Everybody could know that this was the King of the Jews. Not Herod, but Jesus. What does Barabbas mean? Comes from, how about the word Bar? What's Bar Jesus in the Bible mean? Bar Jesus. You know, that was one of the false Christs that came. Huh? What does Bar Jesus mean?
I thought Bar was son of.
Son of. Son of. There you go. You're learning Hebrew already. Bar is son of. Okay, how about Abba?
Father.
Son of the Father. That's what Barabbas means. Son of the Father. What father? What was he? He was an Al Capone of his day, wasn't he? He was an organized crime. He had a gang of ringleaders that what we call them, just hellions. Murderers and killers. Highwaymen. Like Al Capone's group. Pretty Boy Floyd. The Godfather. That's the kind of person he was. He was a killer and a murderer. And he was in jail and he was going to justly die on the cross. Because he was a murderer. That dirty, low-down, no-good Barabbas, the son of the Father, the son of the Father of darkness. Jesus was the son of light, wasn't he? Barabbas was the son of darkness. He deserved to die on Calvary. And they asked, give us Barabbas. Boy. Give us Barabbas, the son of darkness. You crucified the son of the light. Think about that. And Barabbas was a type of our own sins. We deserve to go to the cross, don't we? We deserve eternal punishment. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took our place. Adam. Look at this. Here's the first 10 names of the sons of Adam in the Bible. All right, Adam and his sons. Look at them. Adam. What does Adam mean? Of the earth, earthy, red, blood red. All right? Of the earth. He was related to the earth, so the second Adam could redeem the earth from its bondage of sin. All right? When that second Adam came, here's the first Adam. If this portrays the whole coming of Jesus Christ and His return all the way back. Have you ever seen this, brother? I've taught this to a few teachers in the church, and I think they've taught it in different classes.
In my Saturday morning men's study, Kevin.
Yeah.
Knudsen. Yeah. He went from all the way from Jesus back to Adam by what their names mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Adam. All right.
of the earth. The second Adam was related to the earth also.
So he could redeem the whole cosmos by the whole created being. What's the word cosmos mean?
Going wrong on that one. Cosmos. What does that word cosmos mean? That's Greek, but
it's just like English. Cosmos.
Something ordered something.
How many of you women have cosmetics? That word cosmetics comes from this word, this Greek word right here. And what do you do when you put your cosmetics on? You set yourself in order. Put your face on. And the men do the same thing sometimes. Set yourself in order. If you don't shave your old ugly mug, it'll be all whiskery looking. You will. Believe me. Comb your hair. Put it in order. All right? Cosmos means order. The whole order of the universe. Christ bought back on the cross of Calvary. He was the first. Adam was the first Adam. Jesus was the second Adam. Zeth. Look at that word Zeth. What does that word Zeth mean? Substitute. Now do you understand that perilous business? Huh? You are Barabbas. I'm Barabbas. Barabbas should have died on the cross. He got to walk free. Jesus died on the cross. He was a dirty, low-down rat. So are we. But Jesus died on the cross for us to redeem us back from the living.
What happened to evil?
Well, he was killed.
I know he was killed.
Yeah, he was killed. That he's not in that lineage. Yeah, because of that. He's not in that lineage because he had no descendants, did he? It's that the Lord says that when he talked to Cain, Cain means gotten, by the way. Cain is gotten. And when Eve brought forth Cain, she said, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. She thought that the Messiah was born. Right then. She thought it was Cain. She thought he was the Messiah. Well, he was a real disappointment, wasn't he? Alright. He had no descendants, so we don't have Abel. We don't have Cain up there. Okay? Because he wasn't of the faith line. This is what they call the faith line. Okay? You can write this down later on. This will do you some good. Oh, Enosh. Or Enos. What does that mean? That means dying. Dying. You know, there was a time that Jesus, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does Gethsemane mean? That was on the Mount of Olives, by the way. Gethsemane means what? It means oil press. Oil press. That's where they take the olives and they roll this great big stone over them, squish all the oil out of it and all the everything out of it. And then they rendered that. That means olive press. All it pressed. Our sins pressed down on Jesus so hard on the Mount of Olives in that little garden there called the olive press that he sweat blood. He sweat blood. How many of you have ever seen anybody get so mad or so under stress that around their eyes they start literally bleeding? Their blood vessels break around their eyes. Had a little stepson one time, Thomas. And him and his mother would fight so hard, she beat him so bad, that his blood vessels around his eyes would just break and he would just like splotched all around his eyes, just like a little mask. Jesus was under such stress that it says that blood ran out of the pores of his skin. That's right. Dying. If you look in the original language when you talk about the death of Jesus Christ and what he went through, you know, Herod had him beat. Tremendously beat. He was mad at him because he wouldn't even answer him. He wanted to do a miracle, didn't he? Dying. Jesus was dying from Gethsemane on. And those rascals came out there and they arrested Jesus, and Peter jumped up with a sword, a long knife is what it was, and he meant to bust the high priest's head right half in two, but he dodged and he got him to cut his ear off. What did Jesus do? Right in the middle of him being arrested, what did he say? Fixed his ear. That's the last miracle he ever did. He healed his ear. And then he demanded something of them. They came to arrest him. And he demanded something of them. He said, let these go free. Let these disciples go free. I demand it. That's the imperative mode in Greek. He said, let them go. Do it. Do it. And Judas Iscariot, the man from Caria, he came up to Jesus and grabbed him. He said, when I grab him, I'm not going to turn him loose. You get him and you bind him. And he paid 30 pieces of silver. By the way, that was illegal to do, to pay for a witness. That everything the Sanhedrin did was illegal. They arrested him at night. Arrested him at night. And you know what they did before formal charges were brought before him? They bound him. Every time they tried to arrest Jesus before, he got away from them, didn't he? And when Judas Iscariot came up, he grabbed a hold of him, and he said he kept, in the Greek language, he said he kept on kissing him in the imperfect tense, saying, oh, I love you, master, teacher, this is him, get him, guys, come on, well, I got him. And he kept on doing that. He kept on holding to him, and he kept on fervently kissing him, he said, saying, this is him, this is the master. Get him! I've given him to you. I've handed him over. Paradidomi, that's the Greek word, to hand over. We translate it betrayed, but he handed him over. Literally, he had him in his hands and his arms. And he said, get him. Well, I've got a hold of him. Don't let him get away. And they bound him. They tied him up. And he was commanding them because he was the God of the universe, remember. They had arrested the God of the universe. Dying. Dying. Psalm 23, Isaiah 53, you want to read about Jesus. 800 to 1,000 years before he died. It says in the Bible that Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, it said that he would die on a cross or a tree. You know that that form of execution hadn't even been invented yet? Where did it start? Where did the crucifixion start?
The Romans?
No, not the Romans.
Babylon?
Well, how about the Persians?
Persians.
How about Nineveh? Assyria. Ninevites. The Ninevites. When Jonah went down to Nineveh, he didn't want to go. You know what they did to people there? They were impaling them. That was a horrible way of death. They would take a sharp stick and sharpen it up and set a man right on top of it and let it slowly go through his body and kill him. Bad death. That's how crucifixion started out. Then the Romans later on, they put a cross up and would stretch his arms out like this. And still it was the same word, stakos. But they would nail his hands here, nail his hands here, nail his feet down here. And he would hang there with his hands until his arms would go into spasms. He'd have to push himself up to get a breath because he couldn't breathe hanging like that. And he had to push himself up and his feet hurt so bad and cramped because there were nails driven through them. And this happened to a lot of people. Thousands of people were crucified like this. People, the Adamic nature, loves to see bloodshed and suffering and dying to others. Not to themselves, but to others. You know, everybody else always deserves it, but not you. Huh? Isn't that the way it is? The worst criminal in the world will justify what he's done. You know that? The worst criminal in the world will never say, I'm wrong. He will justify everything he's done. It ought to happen to somebody else. Barabbas says, well, a sucker was born every minute. I just took their money. I'm going to start a new kingdom. I'm going to have a real kingdom here. Well, the might is right. Just like Barabbas, you know, Al Capone. Well, I'm just giving some people protection. They can be protected by me. And that's what he did, soul protection. Enoch died. Jesus was beaten. The Roman soldiers, you know, he talks about the 39 lashes that the Jewish had. Romans didn't give them 39 lashes. They cut them to pieces. They cut them to pieces. They beat him with staffs. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails, ripping his body apart. They took his beard and pulled it out. It says they kept on pulling it out and ripping his skin off his face doing that. It says when he went to the cross of Calvary, he couldn't tell who he was. They didn't know him because he was so messed up by being beaten and ripped up and torn apart. Dying. Dying. The process of dying. You see what Enoch means? Adam, our substitute, dying for us. He told Adam in our garden, he said, "You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and dying you shall die. You deserve to die. Dying, you shall die." But you know what? Jesus died for our sins. Canaan. What in the world does Canaan mean? Redeemer. Or purchaser. One who purchases.
I was going to ask you, Jim, my Bible has that as Canaan. Is that just a different way of stopping it?
It's Hebrew. It's just, we can call it Canaan. We can call, like I said a while ago, Enosh or Enos or Zeth or Adam, you know. Ahavam is how you say it. But in English, they translate it different ways. They pronounce it differently. You'll see the pronunciation and the different spelling of these names. All right? Canaan. See that beautiful little word, Canaan? That Jesus was the one who purchased us. Jesus purchased us. He substituted himself for our eternal damnation, just like Jesus or Barabbas was set free. That man should have died. He deserved to die. There were two other thieves on the cross. And the word thieves there means more than thieves. It means they were robbers too. They may have been part of Barabbas' group of thugs. That's all they were, just thugs. And they deserved to die, but one of them was saved. What did he say to Jesus?
Remember me?
Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, "This day you'll be with me in my kingdom." In paradiso is what he said. What's paradiso? What's paradiso mean? That comes all the way from Persian, doesn't it?
Paradise.
It means a guarded and a kept garden. A place of rest. A place of safety. That's what paradise means. It came all the way from Persian. It came into Hebrew. Then it came into Greek, the same word. And then it came all the way down to English. We never translated the word paradise. That guarded, kept part. Our Redeemer. Mahalel. Mahalel. What does that word mean? The splendor of God. The splendor of God. Our God. John 1:14 is God manifest in the flesh. John 1:14. Adam was made in the image of God. But he took off on him a taint, didn't he? You ever sometimes go buy a good... A long time ago, I went to Safeway, and I always liked to eat shark. I like shark. And I'd like to barbecue it. I'd put mayonnaise on it and some garlic and some lemon and different things, and I'd put it on and grill and barbecue it. I went to Safeway one time, and I bought this real nice shark steak, and I brought it home, and I opened it up, and that thing and knocked your head off. Wow! Man, did that thing smell bad. It was tainted. He was spoiled. I mean it out of order, like, well, I went over to the, where's that place we went, Cambria? Went in this fancy place called the Briar or something like that. And I went in there and I got a scallop that was like that. Tastes just like that shark smelled a long time ago. Tainted meat. Tainted. The blood of Adam was tainted. But because Jesus Christ didn't have any of his blood in him, but the woman's blood that was taken out of Adam before he sinned, he could be our Redeemer. And he could be the splendor of God, God manifest in the flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning, or in beginning, kept on being the Word, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being toward the Word, toward the God, that is. And Jehovah kept on being, or the Word kept on being God. Then John 1:14 says, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh became, the splendor of God, Jehovah, became flesh. Jared. I may get all this stuff done here. Jared. Jared means poured out or descended. Jesus Christ poured out His life for us, didn't He? All the way from Gethsemane on. Enoch. Enoch. By the way, look here. Numbers in the Bible mean things. What is the number 7 in the Bible? What does it mean?
Perfection.
Perfection. The first Adam became a dying man. The second Adam was the God of the universe and the God of all living. Enoch means teacher. And it's the seventh one. And did Enoch die?
No.
Huh?
God took him.
At the type of the
rapture.
All right? The type of the rapture. And Jesus told His disciples, they asked Him about the resurrection. He looked at them and He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean? Word the Russian word Anastasia comes from that word, Greek word. Because, by the way, Russian, if you can read Greek, you can read some Russian, because Russian is right out of Greek letters. Teacher. Didaskalos. In Greek. When they come up to Jesus, they would call Him Great Master Teacher. Kurios. Didaskalos. Master Teacher. He was more than just a teacher. You know, when you go to school and you remain there for a while until you graduate, you get a degree, don't you? And when you go into the public school system, you have to have a degree to teach, don't you? You have to have your papers to teach. Well, Jesus was a papered teacher. He was a master teacher, so to speak. Since He was a little child, He was teaching in the temple area, confounding the great rabbis. The word rabbi, by the way, means doctor. Doctor. Doctor of letters. Okay? Doctor of letters. Learned one. And person that is educated, you can call them a doctor of letters if they're really educated. Not falsely educated, not just grab the Bible a little bit and study here and jump and go through it. Now I'm a Bible scholar. Used to a long time ago, and still is in some Bible institutes. Took you 8 years to get a doctorate. And when you got a doctorate, when you got the doctorate, you knew the Bible languages. You knew Hebrew and you knew Greek. You knew some Latin and you knew English. You could read the Bible from the original language, and you had taken all the courses. I think it took 175 or 185 units of Bible study in college to receive that doctorate of Bible languages or doctorate of divinity. It meant something. Now they sell them. Well, after I ended up with 219 units, 9 years of Greek and 6 years of Hebrew. And you know what? It wasn't enough. There's so much more there. I'm just beginning to touch and understand those things. And a lifetime of 30 years of study and writing and teaching. And I'm just now opening my eyes to it. It's just it's so much there. If a man could live Brother Hubbard, you know, one of my lessons. He taught and he studied for 68 years in the seminary. That's a long time. Methuselah. A lot of interpretations of this name, but basically what it says, when he is dead, it shall become or come to pass. In Methuselah's day, when he died, what happened? The year that Methuselah died, what happened? The flood came. Catastrophe. When Jesus Christ died, the salvation for the whole universe was perfected. Did you know that? The salvation of the whole universe was perfected completely when Jesus Christ died. When he is dead, he shall come to pass. Lamech. Jesus said to his disciples that I am the resurrection and I am the life. And the word Lamech means King of Kings, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he was the full God, glorified God in the flesh. The God of glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That was him. Noah. What does Noah mean? Have you ever looked that word up? Noah. The tenth from Adam. Noah. His name means peace, safety, security. Look at that. Look at these first 10 names of the Bible. Does it tell the story of Jesus Christ his coming? One of these days, he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of these days, he'll rule the whole world in righteousness. But right now, you can have peace and safety in your heart if Jesus is there. King. Peace and safety in your heart. Because he is the God of the creation. He is the God of the resurrection. He is the God of the universe. He is God. He always was. Never ceased being. Do you have any questions? Right here.
Yes, Lamech.
Yeah.
Is he the one that seems like a long time from Cain, but he said if Cain was, or I mean, if Cain's death would be avenged seven times, then his would be seven.
That was a descendant of Cain. Yeah. Yeah. Some of those had the same names.
Oh, okay. So this is a different.
Yeah.
It's a double name, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little bit longer than that.
Yeah. It's basically the same name though.
Yeah.
But they're in. This is the line of faith. The line of faith. This is the line that goes back. The faith line that goes back to Adam. Okay. The other line is the line of flesh. The line of evil. And
are you going to give me those names next time?
They mean the same.
Yeah.
The names mean the same. But you can look them up in your Bible. This when you see these names now in the Bible, when you see names, they mean something. What does Jesus mean? What does Jesus mean?
Emmanuel.
Well, Jesus. What is the name? What is
salvation?
Jehovah saves. Jesus means Jehovah saves. And the word Joshua, or Joshua, means Jehovah saves. The one, a lot of our pronunciations have been handed down to us. A lot of it has got to do with King James Bible. And the Bible interpreters in the Old Testament and the New Testament that translated the King James Bible, the Hebrew Old Testament, it's Hebrew, okay? The New Testament is what? Greek. Well, as they were translating that, the people that were translating the Old Testament and the priests, people that were translating the New Testament, didn't get the names in order. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament is what? How should that really be translated? Jonah. John. John. The book of John in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. All right, we have Joshua, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. And we have the name Jesus in the New Testament. Same name. It either should have been Joshua or Jesus. It probably should have been Joshua. They should have said in the lineage of Joshua, the Jesus of Nazareth. Joshua. Joshua. We call him Jesus today. But actually it should be Joshua. Okay. And the name Jacob. In the Old Testament we have the name Jacob. In the New Testament we have the name James. Same name.
Why did they do it that way?
They didn't know. They didn't get together. They made a mistake. As simple as that.
King James.
And it was handed down to us today, and the names are different, but the names are the same name.
I've seen the sons in the Old Testament that said the same meaning too.
Yeah. If you look it up and James and Josh and Jacob, you're going to find out that's the same name. All right? Another one there that'll really be the same as the name Jim or Demas. Demas. Demetrius. Demetrius in the Bible, and we have a Russian name, Demetrius. Demas. Demetrius is Jimmy. Demas is Jim. Jacob or James. Another name, and they're all derivatives of those names. All right. Funny. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it called Elijah, didn't it? In the New Testament, they translated, when they talked about, is it, who's coming, Elijah? It didn't say Elijah, did it? What did it say in King James? Elias. Same name. They just mistranslated it. It's not Elias, it's Elijah.
What about
Elisha? Elijah and Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God, and his replacement was Elisha.
Yeah,
he took the mantle from him. They were two different people. One was Elijah, one was Elisha. Okay? There is an Elijah and Elisha. Okay? But in the New Testament, when it comes about Elias, and it'll talk about Isaiah?
Yeah.
Who's Isaiah, the prophet?
Yeah.
It's Isaiah. Not Isaiah, but Isaiah. They had Isaiah in the Old Testament and Isaiah in the New. The difference in names, but just don't worry about that. They're the same names.
My son, his name is Isaiah, but I've ran into people that named their son Isaiah.
Yes.
By
the King James.
By the King James.
Yeah, because the King James pronunciation, the New Testament pronunciation of the same name, it should have been Isaiah. All right. There are many, many times it's translated like that, and it's done like that. They just did not. The Old Testament translators and the New Testament translators did not get their acts together. That's all it was. It was a mistake. It was an oversight. Whatever. But as we look back, if that has confused you, I hope that straightened a little bit out. Do you have any other questions? Young ladies, it's good to have you here today. Could you tell me your name? Sonia? And Connie. All right. I remember you from the class. You know, I hope you come back again. I hope that you've enjoyed the class. Hope you've learned something to take home with you. This is kind of a... John told me one time, he said, we're going to come over here to the new building. I said, yes, but I'm going to be competing with you. He said, well, nobody's going to want to come to my class that was in your class because it's at a higher level. And I said, well, they go for the fellowship a lot of times. And they do. But thank all of you for coming here. Because we do have this is an advanced Bible study. But I enjoy teaching to you these things. And I know you enjoy it, but you keep coming back. And it's a whole hour of it. And that's a lot. You hardly ever sit for 30 minutes to hear a sermon, let alone a whole hour. And then on Wednesday night, I teach an hour and a half. And they sit here for an hour and a half, and sometimes they don't want to quit then. So that means something about the students. They're hungry. And I thank you for your hunger for the Word of God. God bless you. Brother Hernando, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you again, Father, for this time together, Father, to share your word, to learn from it. Father, I thank you, Brother James.